Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we get the opportunity to do something special. As many of you know, our co-host for the program, Dr. Meg Meeker, is a best-selling author of several books on effective parenting, including Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and Strong Mothers, Strong Sons. She is a wealth of knowledge on raising kids. Her blog on the Family Talk website is one of the most visited pages on our site because she gives parents the opportunity to ask questions about how to raise their children. Well, a week or so ago, several constituents of Family Talk were invited to call in and leave a question for Dr. Meeker so that she could answer their questions on air. And over the next two programs, we'll hear some of those answers to those questions. So here now is Dr. Meg Meeker as she takes questions from parents on raising children on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Hi, this is Dr. Meg Meeker, and I am so excited to be doing this program. We're going to do a little bit of a different format today. I want to hear from you. I want to talk to you and help you with your kids in any way that I can. So, Pat from Maine, you're up next.
My question is, how do parents deal with emotional blackmail that their children use to get their own way? By that I mean 3-year-olds and up saying, I hate you, or you're not my friend, you don't love me, I can do anything I want in the teen years. I see these tactics used so many times on parents, and they cave in to these tactics on my job.
Pat, that is a great question. I'll tell you the truth. I see this in my office as well. And I would have a very difficult time listening to a 3-year-old say to me, I hate you. I can do whatever I want without laughing. Any parent who takes seriously those words from a 3-year-old and then claims that they're emotionally blackmailed has some serious soul searching to do. First of all, it's a little child. Many parents look at their kids and see not a 3-year-old intellect. They see a 20-year-old intellect or an 18-year-old intellect, particularly if that child is a bright child. And I see this with many parents who try to negotiate with 3-year-old kids, who try to explain too much to 3-year-old kids. 3-year-old kids are impulsive. They have no filter. They say what they feel. They don't know what they mean. And half the time, they don't even know what they're saying. Yes, they can manipulate parents, but any parent who allows themselves to be blackmailed by a 3-year-old child has to understand this has nothing to do with the child and everything to do with the parent. I would encourage any parent out there who has a 3-year-old who is getting mouthy and who's saying potentially hurtful things to their parent to stand back and look at that kid. And if you are beginning to take that child seriously, for 1 minute, pretend you're parenting someone else's kid, look at the child, listen to what's coming out of their mouth and going, you've got to be kidding me. I will never believe anything that you're saying. So this is really a parent's issue, not a child's issue. Mark from Orlando, Florida, what's your question?
Hi, Dr. Meeker. I have a 14-year-old with mood swings. Now, these mood swings, they get so severe that sometimes I think they're depression. So I was wondering if you have any thoughts or advice on how to handle this. Thank you.
Mark, you sound like a great dad, that you're attentive to your child's moods. I love to hear dads call in with questions like that. I don't know whether your child is a son or a daughter, but I'm glad I don't know, and here's why. Can 14-year-old boys in the adolescent stage have mood swings? Absolutely, yes. You know, hormones wreak havoc in boys as well, and we never think about that. We think about hormonal shifts in girls and estrogen and progesterone making girls irritable and moody and sad and tearful, but we never think about what testosterone does to boys. And also, they have some, low levels of other hormones that can affect their mood as well, too. So absolutely, boys can be as moody as girls can during the adolescent years. Now, are your child's mood swings normal or abnormal? I recently wrote on my personal blog, MegMeekerMD.com, a questionnaire that parents can read and questions you can ask about your child to try to discern whether your child's just sad and moody or whether they're really depressed. Because there's some very clear ways we can determine whether or not a 14-year-old is depressed or whether they're not depressed. So I would encourage you to read through that list and ask those questions about your child to see if there is some depression going on. Now, if your gut is telling you that these mood swings aren't normal, I will almost guarantee you the mood swings aren't normal because mom and dad know their kids very, very well. This is what I would encourage you to do. I would call up your child's doctor and I would say, I would like to come in and speak with you alone. And then you make an appointment, you go in and you talk to your physician. Parents do this with me all the time. And they come in and they talk with me alone about what they're seeing in their child. And then they ask me objectively, do you think that's depression? Do you think that's just regular old sadness? What's going on? And so we go through it together and we do a little digging to figure out what could be going on in the child's life. And then, because I've had the heads up and I've gotten the background information, or you've given the background information to your doctor, then you schedule an appointment for your 14-year-old to just have what you call a checkup with their doctor. You don't have to say to your son or daughter, I'm concerned that you may be depressed, so I'm going to send you to your doctor. Any 14-year-old kid will say, I don't think so. I'm not going to go because I'm not a nutcase. A 14-year-old hears a term like depression and they go, oh, no, that means I'm a weak person. And they conjure up all these images of, you know, people in asylums and things like that. So taking your child to a doctor just for a checkup is a pretty safe thing to do. But if your doctor has had a heads up that he or she needs to try to, during that time with your child, to figure out whether there's some depression going on or not, a good physician can finesse those questions without the child realizing that they're really in there to figure out whether they're depressed or not. And I, as I said, I do this all the time. Once your physician determines whether depression is a real concern, then he or she can talk to your child about that without you there, and talk about it in a very clinical way, in a way that's going to help your child be comfortable dealing with it, and then give some very clear recommendations as to what the next steps are. If your physician is not comfortable doing something like that, then I would ask them, who is a physician in your area who's comfortable diagnosing and helping patients deal with depression, particularly adolescents, because there are many physicians out there who, like me, really love dealing with teens who are depressed. So lots and lots of good places for you to go, and you're well on your way. So that's where I would start, is with your own pediatrician. We have Megan next from Colorado Springs. Hi, Megan.
My question is, how do you handle the pervasive homosexuality, kind of gender sexuality that is so prevalent nowadays in the school system, where our children are being taught that it is okay for same gender relationships, when we as Christians are so avidly against, and according to the Word of God? How are you able to go against the culture and the things that the kids are being taught nowadays with media and everything in a way that is biblical and loving and gracious and doesn't sound stuffy, old, and religious?
Hi, Megan. So you don't want to be stuffy, old, or religious. And those are probably three things that I am. So you might not like my answer. Here's what I would encourage you to do. I would make the homosexuality issue a broader issue. This is what I do with kids, my own kids, kids in my practice. We're living in a culture that thrives, the media culture, thrive on hypersexualizing everything and everyone. And they make the sexuality of a human being appear larger than the identity of that human being. And I think that's where we tackle the issue in a healthy, sound, biblical manner. Now, what do I mean by that? This is what I mean. I will tell my kids when they are in school, listen, you are going to hear all sorts of talk about sexual things and sexuality and what mothers and fathers do. And you may hear kids talk about what mothers and mothers do or fathers and fathers do. You may hear teachers talk about this. But when you hear these kinds of things, now remember, this is me as a mom talking to my child at home. When you hear these kinds of things, I want you to come home and I want you to talk to me about them, because you're going to hear answers and things that aren't necessarily correct. But I, as your mom, know the correct answers. And so I want to help you with those correct answers. So what you have done is you have diffused a lot of the problem by saying to your kids, you're going to hear a lot about sexuality and homosexuality and bisexuality and sexual activity and heterosexuals and kids and this kind of thing. And it's going to feel like a globby mess. So I want to be the person that you talk to about this, who helps tease this all apart for you and helps you put it in a perspective that I'm comfortable with, that Dad and I are comfortable with, that is different from everyone else. It doesn't make those people bad people, but we feel differently than many people do on not just sexuality, but on a lot of things. And you know that because we're a Christian home and we follow Jesus and we follow biblical teachings. And yes, there are times we feel odd, but this is how our family does it. So that's how I did it with our kids. So you're opening up, you're giving your kids permission to come to you and talk with you about thorny, tough, uncomfortable subjects like sex and sexuality. As you get those questions from your kids, you talk about biblical character, biblical identity, and biblical sexuality. And if your child, for instance, comes home and says, Tommy in my class is 15 and he is gay and he has so-and-so as his boyfriend. And what do you think about that, Mom? You say to your son, or your child, honey, sexuality and being homosexual at 15 is complicated. And the development of sexuality is very complicated. Tommy says that he's homosexual. We treat kids who say they're homosexual just like kids who say they're heterosexual. It's not biblically sound for him to be sexually active if he's 15, whether he says he's homosexual or whether he says he's heterosexual. So that's how I deal with the homosexual, bisexual issue during the teen years. I treat all the kids as the same. No matter what you say, it's not okay for you to be sexually active when you're 15, 16, 18, or until you're much older and married. If you're dealing with kids who come home and say, Mommy, in my second grade class, Sarah has two mommies. She doesn't have a daddy. And you're saying, how do you explain that to your child? Very easily. You say, you know what, honey? Sarah's parents live differently than we do in our home. They're not bad people. They're very kind people. They have chosen a very different way to live than we do. And we believe that in our home, a mom and a dad and kids are what make up the kind of family that we believe God desires for us. And it doesn't make them bad people. And we don't look down on anybody. We love them and we encourage them. We just feel differently, as we do on many other issues. Keep it very simple. Keep it clear. But I think that it's important for you to not talk with a tone of vitriol or anger and putting people down necessarily. That's the best way I have found to navigate the issue of homosexuality. First of all, I clump it in with all other sexuality, and I talk about the hypersexualization of our kids and how it's not okay for people to focus on your sexuality as being more important than your identity as a man or a woman or a child of God. It's more important to look at the character of the human being, not just the sexuality of the human being. And that's how I found great success in navigating this with my patients and with my own kids. Gina calling from Wisconsin. I think you're up next.
I just had a question on how and some ideas on how to deal with the constant emotional trauma that children face in a divorce that's continuously inflicted by one parent, putting the other parent down. When the court system fails, and any other way we have tried, any other ideas on how we can deal with that? Thank you.
Mm. You know, Gina, sadly, you're in a very common situation. I see this all the time in parents of patients in my practice who are divorced. First of all, if there is anything that you can do to get through to your spouse, find a friend that your spouse is close to, maybe even his new wife, where you could communicate to them how destructive this is to the children, that would be wonderful. Obviously, you're not the person to communicate that, but try to find somebody on your behalf who could tell him this is really, really hurting your kids. Because the truth is, every child deserves a relationship with both mom and both dad. He can divorce you, but those children will never divorce you. Neither will they divorce their dad. So your children deserve the right to have a good relationship with each mother and father. Now, assuming that you can't find somebody to get through to your husband or your ex-husband to get him to behave in the way he talks about you, here's what I recommend parents do. Understanding that his bashing you is going to continue. When you're with your children, I think it's very important that you don't reciprocate. It's very important that you speak respectfully about them, again, because they need a relationship with their dad. I would also encourage you to say in a respectful tone, you know what, guys, there are things that you might hear dad say about me that may or may not be true. So I would just encourage you to be very, very cautious in what he says. Again, you want to, in a gentle way, discredit the lies that he's telling them, but you don't want to malign his character, because when you malign his character, you push your children on the defensive towards their dad, and they're going to stop telling you anything. I want to encourage you in something, though, and that is this, that I've seen this scenario worked out many, many, many times. Eventually, what happens as the kids mature, they see right through this. Children who are living with a parent who's constantly putting the other parent down come to a place in their life where they, A, begin to realize that what that parent is saying are lies, and B, they come to disrespect the parent who is so angry and maligning of the other parent. They grow up, and when they become adults, usually this doesn't happen until their 20s, they see the light, they get what's going on, and they circle back round to the parent who has taken the high road, has not criticized the person criticizing them, and who has tried to stay on the straight and narrow. So keep your wits about you. Pray for those kids. Be very patient. Don't criticize your ex-husband, but you can tell your kids that what they hear may not always be correct, and let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't try to counteract what he's saying or become on the defensive yourself. Doesn't lead to anywhere good. Karen from Miami, Florida, thanks so much for calling.
I have a 14-year-old girl with severe mood swings, and it seems like depression at times, and she doesn't sleep well. I don't know what to do, and I don't want to brush it off as a typical teenager problem. Can you help?
Karen, I am so glad you called. First of all, you sound like a terrific mom. I'm really glad you called, because many parents of teenagers look at a teenager with a lot of mood swings and go, oh, they're just being a teenager. What can I do? And they really pass off behavior that is a red flag for something much more serious going on as, quote, normal teen behavior. If your gut, and I think this is what you're saying, is telling you something else is going on here with your daughter, you're dealing with more than just mood swings, you're probably right, and your daughter does need help. Now, what is normal teen behavior? Normal teen behavior is a desire of a teenager, 14-year-old girl, to spend more time by herself, spend more time with her friends and with her parents, to want a little bit more privacy, to not always want to participate in family activities, to not want to be told how to dress and what to do, to sometimes be in a bad mood and then a good mood, and to be a bit unpredictable in what her moods are going to be. But in a normal teenager, what you will see is sort of a ping-ponging effect. Bad mood, but then they're in a great mood, and they're very happy, and they're happy to do things with the family. And then they're in a bad mood, they want to withdraw. Depression, on the other hand, and there's a very clinical, clear way we can determine whether a child is depressed or not, a 14-year-old. And that is, what you're looking for is a series of symptoms that are present in a child for longer than 2 weeks. And I wrote that list of signs on my MegMeekerMD.com website, and you can go there and find it. Those symptoms include, is your daughter losing interest in activities that she normally finds pleasurable? Does she not want to play soccer anymore? Has there been an appetite change? Has she suddenly stopped eating? Has she suddenly started eating a whole lot more? Has her energy level changed? Is she either crazy with energy and running around, or is she wanting to sleep all the time? Is her sleep pattern at night disrupted? Are her grades falling? There are very black and white things that we can use to determine whether or not your child is depressed, and those are just some of them. Is she talking about suicide or wondering about death and talking about death? So it's very important to do a little bit of digging, and there are places that you can do it. Go to my website, MegMeekerMD.com, and look at that list of things. Now, say you take that test and you decide that your daughter is indeed depressed and needs some help. I would first of all call up your pediatrician, and I would make an appointment for you to go in to speak with your pediatrician alone. Make an appointment and say, I want to come talk to the doctor about the fact that my daughter might be depressed. You don't want to bring your daughter in there the first time. You want to have a frank, open conversation about your concerns and what you're seeing in your daughter to your doctor. Then you ask your doctor, now, what do you recommend I do? And the doctor will say, I want to see your daughter back, and here are some counselors that you could take your daughter to. Then you make an appointment for your daughter to go back in and have a checkup, say, with her doctor. And the reason I recommend parents don't go home and say to your kids, now, listen, I'm worried that you could be depressed and you need to go see the doctor. Because often when kids hear that, they hear, oh, my mom feels that something's wrong with me and she wants me to go get fixed. And kids run the other way when they feel that that's what they're hearing, or they actually hear that. It is safe, however, for a child to go in and get a checkup from a regular doctor. So she goes in to have a physical exam, but what she doesn't realize is the doctor is posing questions to her to tease out whether or not she may be depressed. And your daughter is in a great position to be able to talk with your doctor about what depression may be, what mood swings are all about, why she may be having them. And I'll guarantee your daughter is going to hear that news much better from a doctor than from mom or dad. So continue to press forward, continue to get for help. And here's the great news. There's excellent treatment for depression in 14-year-old girls, and you're well on your way to getting there. And thanks so much for calling.
You've been listening to the first part of a question and answer session with Dr. Meg Meeker here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and if you'd like more information about parenting or to visit Dr. Meeker's blog, come to our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for the conclusion of our Q&A with Dr. Meg Meeker, right here on Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson with Family Talk, and I have a very special offer for all of you who are listening today. You know, there's no higher calling as a Christian mom or dad than to teach children the gospel, the good news, and to provide spiritual training within the home. That's the most important task. But unless parents get serious about leading their families in godliness, they could, and in some cases are likely to, grow up without a strong faith, the faith of the generations that preceded them. And that's why I want to equip you with the sound teaching and practical wisdom that you need to raise a family of disciples for Christ. in a brand new collection of 8 DVDs titled Building a Family Legacy, I tackle common parenting questions and offer advice and encouragement based on the firm foundation of biblical principles. The Building a Family Legacy 8 DVD series is my gift to you to say thank you for your suggested donation of $50 or more. Now, I will accept no royalty or any portion of this donation. Every dollar will go to help support Family Talk, and we could use your assistance at this time. So I pray that this resource will be a great blessing to you and the children God has placed in your life. Request your copy by visiting drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. And thank you for your continued support and for listening to Family Talk.